All right, so we are here today, Tuesday, audio style interview. And so it is obviously, if it's a Tuesday, we are talking about Tuesday Q&A. And we are going to be talking with Lynn Louise Wonders today about self-care. So, you know, there's a lot going on with mental health professionals and just people in the helping profession in general, that we are kind of overwhelmed, we're stressed out. I hear you all talking about it, wanting better boundaries, better self-care. And so we are going to be talking with Lynn today about that, because she has a lot of experience with this, and she continues to make this a regular practice in her own life and even has formed an online group about it. So we are here with Lynn. Hi, Lynn. How are you doing?
Hi, Camille. Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad that you were able to take this time to share with us. And before we start talking with Lynn, let me give you all some background. So some of you may be familiar with who Lynn is, but let me tell you a little bit about Lynn. She is a licensed professional counselor, and she's a certified professional counselor supervisor. She also is a registered play therapy supervisor and a very experienced registered yoga teacher. Now, she leads continuing education workshops for therapists, and she provides supervision and consultation. She teaches meditation and yoga, as well as offering relaxation therapy, aromatherapy, and does wellness coaching and offers those services as well. Really, when we're talking to Lynn, one thing you want to know about her is that the foundation of all of her work with her clients and with therapists that she works with is that she has a holistic focus. So she believes that in order to be whole and balanced, we really have to take care of the needs of our body, our mind, and our spirit. And that is so very true. So I am delighted to bring you this audio interview today, talking with Lynn just about how we can get our self-care routine back on track. Or if you're listening to us today and you're saying, you know what, if I'm honest with it, I really don't have a self-care routine, then today, guess what, you're going to get one. And not only are you going to get that, but I want for you to stay tuned and listen to this whole thing, because Lynn is going to give us a gift at the end of this. She is going to go through a 5-minute guided relaxation routine that we can do throughout the day. If you have 5 minutes, you can do this in between clients, before a session, at the end of your day. You may be very busy, but you cannot tell me you don't have 5 minutes in your day to practice this. So I want for you to stay with us until the very end, and that way you can not only do this routine with Lynn, but you can do this routine all by yourself, okay? So with all that being said, we're going to jump right on into talking with Lynn today. And I guess, Lynn, the first thing I just kind of wanted to talk about is, you know, what do you even think is contributing to the lack of self-care going on in our field and with helping professions in general?
Well, I have a theory that those of us who are in helping professions came to these lines of work because we're wired to want to be of service. We want to help other people. And for whatever reason, we got the message somewhere along the way that we have to put other people before be of help to others. And that's really just not true. And so I think that what's happening is a lot of therapists are in settings that are pretty high stress. You know, therapists are working in agency settings where they're seeing, you know, trauma cases and that kind of thing. There's a lot of stress there. And I don't think that there has been enough emphasis on educating we as helpers in our graduate school training and even in continuing ed on self-care. I just don't think that there's been enough. But I'm encouraged because I'm hearing more talk about this, and I'm hearing more and more people asking for this kind of training and for this kind of information. So hopefully we're all starting to get the message that we've really got to take care of ourselves in order to be able to help other people.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And like you said, we're in the helping for profession, and we're givers, and we give to everybody else, and then we don't replenish ourselves, and
exactly.
We find ourselves, yep, overwhelmed and stressed out and burned out, but, you know, what we do is so important. We can't stress out and burn out. People need us. So, you know, I think with that, you know, there's some things that we probably are doing that we can cut out of our routine, out of our lives, because there, I think there are some unhealthy activities and practices maybe that we could avoid. I mean, what do you think as far as unhealthy practices for mental health professionals and just people in the helping professional in general? What are some things that we need to avoid doing?
That's such a good question. You know, and that's something that I've given a lot of thought to after observing not only some of my own supervisees, but a lot of my colleagues over the years. There's several things I want to mention. And the first one's going to sound really obvious, but you'd be surprised how common this is. A lot of people in the helping profession are self-medicating. And self-medicating doesn't have to be with drugs. It could be with food, overeating, eating the wrong kinds of foods. It could be, you know, all kinds of activities, whether it's smoking or drinking or things that are, we know logically are not good for us. We're using them sort of as an escapism method, and that's not the healthiest way to, you know, keep ourselves in balance. So I think we have to look at some of our behaviors and our habits in our everyday life and just sort of bring more awareness to the choices we're making in terms of what we're putting into our bodies and how we're spending our time. So that would be the first thing I would want to emphasize. And then another thing that I notice with myself and with a lot of my colleagues is we have a tendency to schedule a lot of clients or, you know, meetings and, you know, work-related things and not build in time for breaks. This is a bad habit of mine. I'll have scheduled a lunch break for myself, and then someone will call and say, I really have to see you today, and I'll give up my lunch break to see a client, and then I don't have a break.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I have my awareness around that, and I think a lot of us tend to do that. So we've got to make sure that we've got breaks scheduled into our days, breaks where we do something completely non-work related, go for a walk or lie down and do some breathing exercises or, you know, something that's non-work related.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is about maintaining boundaries with regard to our personal time. So let's just think about all the times we're done working for the day, but then we're still checking our email, we're checking our, you know, our Facebook messages, we're checking our phone messages, and then we feel compulsion to return those messages and get on the phone and return those calls. And before we know it, that has eaten into our time maybe that we have set aside for ourselves. So I think we have to be clear about our own boundaries with our own scheduling and for other people too.
Those are some really good points. And I think you were walking down my street a few times because I know, especially since, yeah, you were. So especially since I have part of the, you know, part of what I do is online, when you started saying returning emails and being online, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that sounds like me, because I can really kind of get, I think, stuck a little to my electronics. And even when I say I'm going to take a break, then somehow I just feel this pull to say, okay, but let me just check and see if I see a notification or if I got a new email. And really just have to stop. Just have to stop. But, you know, I can't speak for everyone who might be listening to this call today, but I know I can speak for myself. There was a time, and this probably was like a little bit earlier, I almost felt like if I took a break, I might miss something. I don't know, I might miss an opportunity to get a call from a client, a new person potentially, or I might miss an opportunity to network somewhere. I mean, you know, I want to touch on real quick something that you said. I was talking to Lynn one day, and there was something that she mentioned just about the flow of, I think, the world and just kind of letting go and just knowing that what is for you, to you, you know. So we don't have to be scared that we're going to miss an opportunity, miss a potential client, miss out on income or something if we just take a break.
Yes.
And I think that you do that quite well because you have scheduled your time where you do give yourself those breaks. So
yeah, you know, yeah, you bring up such a good point. I think we have to be really careful, and I don't want to go too much into a whole other topic, but it's related. We have to be really cautious and conscious of of the mentality that we live in terms of whether we live in a space of truly believing that there's plenty of work, there are plenty of clients, there's going to be plenty of time. And, you know, if we don't think like that, and if we're thinking in that deficit, you know, thinking of, oh, there's limited time and I've got to get all this done and I might miss something, then we're really crunching down on ourselves and we're really limiting ourselves. So, yes, it's definitely been my experience that there's a flow. And if you can just trust that flow and know that when you take a break, in fact, when I lead my guided meditations or guided relaxations, I always cue people to turn off your phone, like turn even the vibration part of it off, you know, turn all your electronics off, move them into another room so that you don't have that pull, you know, of oh, gosh, I've got to return that call, or, oh, I forgot to text so-and-so. To just sort of remove yourself from all the electronics and all the devices just for a few minutes so that you can take that break. And if you take that break, what seems to happen for me is there seems to be more time and more energy to get all the things done that I want to get done. It's really a strange phenomenon.
Yeah, but it's so true. And people can feel our balance. People can feel when we're relaxed versus when we're uptight or we're tired or we're just overwhelmed. Yeah, that's good. So then essentially, what are some things we can start doing to help ourselves today? What are some strategies that we can start doing to get back on track?
Okay. Yeah, so the first thing that comes to mind is scheduling self-care. And I'm not talking about just those formal self-care things like, you know, keeping up to date with your healthcare appointments and going to get a massage now and then and, you know, mm-hmm. getting your hair done. I mean, those are all great. And
right.
But I'm talking about scheduling. It sounds funny, but scheduling unscheduled time on your calendar, just me time, where even if it's just 15 minutes, where you block that off on your calendar, and that time, you know, is reserved for you and whatever you need in that moment for yourself. So that means I just need to lie down and close my eyes for 15 minutes, or if that means I need to get out of the office and go move my body for 15 minutes. Or you can schedule longer blocks if it works with your schedule. But I think that the ritual of putting it on the calendar is a way of honoring yourself. And I think that's the spirit of self-care, is saying, you know what, I'm just as important, if not more important, than everything else I have to do. So I'm going to make sure that there's time on my calendar allocated for self-care. So that's the first thing I would recommend.
That's good. That's a good one. That really is a great one.
Yeah, I think that also I was talking with a colleague the other day. She said it's been a year and a half since she'd gone on a vacation. And I looked at her, but really? I guess because to me, vacation is so important. And it doesn't have to be going somewhere fancy. I mean, I love to travel personally, but there's sometimes when I'll just take what I call a vacation, a break from work. Maybe it's just, you know, 2 days, 3 days, where I don't return any phone calls and I don't answer any emails, and maybe I just get my closets organized and we'll catch up on my favorite TV show or something. But the point is that I'm taking time and I'm unplugging from work. And so I call that a vacation, you know, and whatever you do at that time. So I think it's important to have that.
And that's funny you said you were talking with someone who hadn't taken a vacation in over a year, because believe it or not, I actually talked to somebody just recently who said that it had been maybe about like 5+ years since they'd gone on vacation. And
whoa.
I know. And they said, you know, already I'm thinking about how wonderful it was and I can't stop talking about the time that I had. And I said, because you don't go on vacation enough. If you took more vacations and time to rest, you probably wouldn't be missing this so badly like you are right now.
I'll tell you something. I take a week off at least every 2 months. And you would think, oh, but you're losing all that income. But I'm really not. I'm doing very well. You know, I have plenty, and I make sure that my client care, of course, is attended to. And the clients that I have understand that I do take off time regularly. And I talk to my clients about self-care. And so and I model that for them as well. So, I, you know, for me, it's a part of my life. It's built in so that I can do the best work I can do for, you know, a few number of weeks, and then I know I have a week off coming. And it's amazing. It's just like what we just talked about. I take off all that time, and yet I still make a very good living and doing the work that I do. So it's not necessarily going to stop you from, you know, making money. A lot of people have that fear that they can't afford to take off time, but it's really, that's just a thought.
And I think this kind of goes into something I wanted to ask you. I wanted you to, you know, just speak to the person who's going to say, yeah, you know, okay, Lynn, okay, Camille, I hear what you're saying. Take time off, schedule it. Don't be, you know, too worried about missing out on income or clients, but you don't understand my schedule. You don't understand my responsibilities. You know, you don't really know what all I have on my plate. And so for that resistant person, you know, I'm so thankful you're listening today. You know, we love you, but we want to just speak to you for a quick minute. What would you even say to that person who they're really kind of feeling like, yeah, but I'm the exception because you just don't know my situation?
Yep, yeah. Well, there's two things that come to mind with that. And the first thing is that self-care can be a moment-to-moment thing. It doesn't have to be a week vacation every 2 months. Self-care can be a moment-to-moment thing where you actually turn it into a way of tuning in and asking yourself sort of as an ongoing gauge, is what I am about to do or say in this moment loving and caring for myself? So it's almost like a mentality that you can help yourself to get into. The other thing I wanted to say is I think sometimes we don't realize it, but we are getting ourselves stuck in limited beliefs and limited thinking. So having the thought, oh, well, you don't understand my situation. My job is so stressful, and it's not possible for me to do that. You know, with compassion, I hear that. I understand that that's the way this person feels. And at the same time, I would want to challenge that person to see that, you know what, that may not be true. There may be a creative way to weave self-care into your existing schedule in ways that you really hadn't thought about before. But it starts with a decision that I'm going to choose to love and care for myself because I have to in order to be present for others. And then we can kind of maybe work that in moment to moment.
And that's wonderful. And that actually is a great segue as we're talking about it is moment to moment. And even though you may not be able to do something on what you may consider to be a grand scale, you definitely, like I said at the top of this interview, you have 5 minutes. And so let's actually go into that because Lynn is going to do a guided relaxation with us, and she's really going to take no more than about 5 minutes. And you have that.
Right.
I know you do. So,
yes.
Lynn, please, you know, I'm going to hand it over to you, and I'm going to actually take 5 minutes to listen to Lynn and relax at the same time as well while she, you know, does this for us. So please tell us what you have in store with the guided relaxation.
Excellent. So this is something you can do anywhere where you have somewhere to sit, except don't do this in the car when you're driving. Because you're going to have your eyes closed. So what I would like for everyone to do is to find a seat. And for this exercise, because we're often going to be doing this in our office between clients, I want you to sit on a chair or a couch or a bench or something because I want you to feel the flats of your feet, the soles of your feet on the floor. So if you've got shoes on, kick your shoes off and feel the floor underneath your feet. And you're going to move your body so that you're sitting forward a little bit towards the edge of the chair so that you can sit with your feet flat on the floor. And your spine is going to be nice and straight. So you're just going to kind of elongate the spine. Go ahead and allow your eyes to close. When we close the eyes, the attention then comes more naturally inward. So allow your hands to rest on your legs. You can turn your palms up so that the backs of the hands are resting on the legs. And just go ahead and feel your feet on the floor again. Lift your toes up off the floor. Maybe let your toes spread away from each other a little bit. And then just float them back down so that you really feel the support of the floor under your feet. And then allow the weight of your body to come down and root into your tailbone and your sits bones, into the cushion or into the bench or the chair that you're sitting on. Allow that piece of furniture under you to support the full weight of your body. With your eyes closed, allow your shoulders to drop down away from your ears. Let your arms and your hands become very heavy. Let your legs be the support for the weight of your arms and your hands. So feel the sensation of rootedness into your seat. And now I want you to bring attention to your belly. And I want you to do something that may feel counterintuitive, but I want you to let your belly hang out. Just relax your belly fully. Women especially, we walk around holding our belly in a lot of the time. I just want you to let it relax. Let it completely go soft. And then I want you to bring attention up to the muscles in your face. And let the muscles around your eyes and your cheekbones go soft. You can even lift your eyebrows and then drop them back down. And then I want you to let the tongue come away from the roof of your mouth and notice how that affects your jaw. Now, with the feet firmly on the floor, the tailbone and the sits bones grounded into your seat, your arms heavy rested on your legs, your belly soft, your face and your jaw soft, I want you to bring attention to your natural breath. Don't try to change it or fix it. Just notice. We're going to be silent just for a few seconds here. And I want you just to notice and with your eyes closed, observe how that breath moves in and out of your body so automatically. Now I just want you to imagine a halo of light hovering above your head. It can be whatever color you want it to be. And I want you to imagine that it's stretchy, so it can stretch and fit around the larger parts of your body or get smaller around the smaller parts. We're going to bring it down around the body for just a quick scan. And what we're looking for is tension in the body. So this ring of light is warm, and it emanates warmth and light into your body. So let it sit down on the roof of your head, the very crown of your head, and feel the warmth and just let it slide down around your face and your head, sitting around each part of your body, seeking out any tension that may be there and soaking up that tension, pulling it out of the body. Bring it down around your neck and onto your shoulders, out to the edges of your shoulders. Let it slide down warm and comforting around your chest and your back, down your arms, sliding down, soaking up tension in your torso, down around your hips, where you're seated, down around the tops of your legs, around the palms of your hands and the tips of your fingers, coming down around your knees, down your calves, down your ankles, into your feet, and all the way down and out the edges of your toes. Feel your body becoming heavier and more rooted where you're sitting. And with a very relaxed belly, we're going to take 3 deep and slow cycles of breath, breathing in through the nose, counting to 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hold it in, and exhale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Breathe in again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hold it in, and exhale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One more time. Breathe in deeply, letting your belly expand. 3, 4, 5, hold it in, and exhale slowly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and let your breath return to a natural breath. Flip your hands over and rub your thighs, coming fully into this present moment. Take one more cleansing breath in, and let it out with a sigh. And gently and slowly begin to open your eyes. And just notice how you feel. How do you feel, Camille?
I feel really relaxed.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm like, this is great. And
yeah.
And it literally, all of this relaxation in 5 minutes. I mean, I feel good. I mean,
it takes practice, something
I can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely something that takes practice. And the more you practice it, you rewire your biology and your neurology to recognize it's time to relax now. So you can get to that space a lot faster the more you practice.
I could imagine so. And really, it's amazing to me the short period of time, just in case you happen to, you know, not have a lot of time that day, maybe things are strained, or, you know, you talked about at the beginning of this interview, just talking about different environments that mental health professionals and just helpers in the field work in. And for those of us who may have a stressful day, something happened or didn't go so well, you just need to, you know, maybe step outside to your car for 5 minutes, or maybe you need to just go in your office and close the door and reset. 5 minutes and you can do this. And then as Lynn said, as you practice, you can start to implement even longer periods of self-care time, you know, in your day. But this is really great. And I would encourage everyone, continue to listen to the guided relaxation technique that Lynn just took us through. If you have to rewind the last 5 minutes of this and just listen and do this until you start to feel comfortable doing this on your own, can just implement your own reset when you need to, if you're at work, at home, or wherever you may be. This was a wonderful, wonderful relaxation technique here.
If I could
thank you so
one
much
more thing before. Oh, sure. Can I mention one thing before we go? It just occurred to me that I do have an 11-minute guided relaxation. That's one you do lying down. That's available at my website if they want to go there and sign up to receive that download.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I will put a link below this audio so that you can go to Lynn's website and get that 11-minute. And then can you tell us just before we end for today, there is something else you have for the body. It's a cleanse, is it not, right?
Yes, that is called a 7-day kickstart. I have two websites. I have wonderscounseling.com, and then I have wonderswellness.com. And on the wonderswellness.com website, there's a 7-day, it's a free cleanse program. It's called Clean, Lean, and Green, and it's all about taking a week and dedicating it to, and it's not just for the body, it's actually for the mind and spirit as well. So, yes, absolutely free. I would love to give that to anybody who would like to have that.
Okay, wonderful. So you all are getting, you know, today a lot of goodies. Okay, so what I'm going to do is make sure that you all have links to both of her websites, and that way you can take the opportunity to go online. She has more information on both websites that you can look through, and that you can also make sure to get the cleanse, also get the guided relaxation, and get more information that she is offering, because these are things that she just offers regularly. And if you want more, then you can contact her directly. Thank you, Lynn, so much again for sharing this moment with us, talking about this, with me to just share with everybody. It's been an awesome time.
Thank you. I really appreciate you letting me come on. This was really fun.
All right. Well, everyone, you know, that's our Tuesday Q&A for this week. Stay tuned, because next week there will be another Tuesday Q&A. And keep on sending in any questions, any requests, or any topics that you would like to hear in the future. Until next week, bye-bye.